Bipolar seems just sometimes seems like this little fluffy term for it, and it isn't.
I describe it as having like a flu, a real bad flu. Mm-hmm. You can't get out of bed for a couple of days, but you have it for about 2 weeks.
It was just such a weight off the shoulders once you tell people stuff.
As men, we do find it hard to speak up.
This is Triple M's Sane Discussion of Mental Illness with Mark Howard.
Hi, I'm Mark Howard, and I'll be guiding you through Triple M's Sane Discussion of Mental Illness. Our mental health is obviously crucial. It's crucial for our families, our friends, our employers, and most importantly, ourselves. We all face challenges, some more than others. I've talked to several men this year about their own struggles with mental illness. Most recently, Brendan Favola on Dead Set Legends.
A lot of males have that built inside of them that I'm too big and tough. I can't say that because they'll think less of me and I won't have a friend and, you know, they might not be mates with me. But at the end of the day, once I told people, I lost a few mates, but I got become mates with people that I didn't really know that were mates because they wanted to be there for me and they wanted to help me and they were giving me a shoulder to cry on and they were there when, no matter what I did. And it was just such a weight off the shoulders once you tell people stuff. So, you know, whoever listens to this and, you've got some issues, don't be afraid to ring up or ring up somewhere and just tell them and let it out, because at the end of the day, you're better off for it, your family's better off for it, and your mates are better off for it. Because if no one knows what's going on, no one can help you.
That's what this discussion is about, help. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you aren't alone. If you know anyone struggling, let them know you'll help and let them know there's help available. This Sane Discussion on Mental Health is a partnership between Triple M and Sane. Sane deals with complex mental illnesses, everything from depression to bipolar to schizophrenia. Getting the help you need starts with your doctor. Dr. Mark Cross is a Sane board member and he has dealt with some of the most difficult mental health concerns, the complex mental illnesses such as schizophrenia and bipolar. Dr. Cross, well, he's straightforward, he's compassionate. He joined me from our Sydney studio.
Well, the diagnosis of, say, bipolar can take quite a few years, especially with young guys. So they'll start behaving a little bit oddly or, you know, going out a bit wild, and then people go, oh yeah, it's behavior. Then they'll self-medicate sometimes with alcohol and drugs, which complicates the picture. And it can be sometimes 8 to 12 years before the diagnosis is made. And often the first presentation is depression, so it can actually be labeled depression and treated as depression for some years as well.
How difficult is it to treat? Once you've diagnosed a situation that it's a complex mental health issue, what's the next step?
You know, you've got to engage with someone. That's the difficult thing sometimes, but you've got to get them on board, because here you are with, especially young people, you know, who wants to have to cope with mental illness? Who wants to actually have to accept or acknowledge that they've got mental illness? That's a big part of the journey. And you've got to go on this journey with someone and get them to trust you. And also then you give them medication that affects their weight, their sex drive, the list goes on. So you've got to balance all these things up with making sure that they well, that they also then are able to come out, as it were, to their family and friends. And, you know, don't get me started. Well, maybe you should get me started on how work and our culture deals with these things. So then you've got to get them taking medication, coming to visits, making sure that you engage them, you've got a good therapeutic alliance with them, talk to their families, make sure that this doesn't ruin their lives and that they know that, hey, this isn't the end of your life. This is about accepting certain things, keeping well, and having a normal life as possible for yourself and your family.
It must be enormously confronting if somebody walks in and has a discussion with you and eventually you tell them they have a serious mental illness. I guess a lot of people wouldn't even want to hear those words, just like when you go to a doctor and he tells you you've got an issue in your physical health.
No, who does want to hear that? You know, I'm a short, bald bloke myself. I didn't want to hear that I was losing my hair. But, you know, I've compensated with a big car now. But, you know, it's... You can, and humor, you work out as well. You've got to have humor in your job. So these guys that come in and, hey, doc, whatever, and we have a good sort of discussion about things. And I'm quite open about myself as well. So in my book, I mention my family history of bipolar and alcohol and dementia. I've had a cousin who suicided, and my mother had two first cousins who suicided. So it touches all of us. And if we're more open about it and talk about it and just normalize it, then it becomes easier.
gee, it must be difficult on a family unit when you've experienced it firsthand to see what actually happens in a situation like that, though.
Yeah, but I think part of that gives me empathy and makes me sort of, you know, more practical and open to things. You have to be. I can't sit here on my side of the desk and go, oh, this is what you have to do, blah, 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 and give you little lists without going, hey, this is your life. I'm here to facilitate as best I can you getting on with your life and making sure that, you know, it flows smoothly.
And
as smoothly as possible. Sorry.
It is possible to get on with your life if you are diagnosed with one of these situations?
Oh, absolutely. So I've got people in good jobs that I see quite regularly, and we've got Healthy Workplace Alliance now. So someone, you know, Beyond Blue is a great organization as well. So I was saying, obviously, because I'm on the board.
Mm.
not because I'm on the board, but I wouldn't have joined if it wasn't a great organization. You're looking at employers having a plan in place for people to come back to work. So, you know, the big bucks, we're talking about big bucks in terms of mental illness costs to the broader community. It's in the order of $20 billion. That's what it costs our economy every year. And we've got to get it right. So people take sick leave. People with a mental illness take more sick leave than people who take, say, for physical illness, right?
Mm.
Then, of course, when they come back to work, and they have to because, you know, their sick leave's out or they want to get on with their jobs, they don't want to get fired, all those sort of things. And they acknowledge that when they come back to work, they're also struggling still. So their performance isn't at peak. And people have to get that in their heads to support people when they come back to work.
My entire interview with Mark can be found in the Triple M Sane Discussion podcast, available at triplem.com.au.
Yeah, I was diagnosed with depression, mate, at that time, which, you know, at 19 was pretty confronting. Being in a football environment as well was something that I was, at that time, just wanted to push aside and get on with my AFL career, which is probably the stupidest thing I did, you know, looking back now, and then just suppressed it and really didn't acknowledge exactly, I guess, how to handle it and how to move forward, which, you know, probably brought me to my knees a little bit later on in life, you know, with the suicide attempt and things like that as well. So, yeah, but now I find myself here today, mate, and like you said, down at the Cattery, second chance.
The voice you just heard is Jake Edwards when he appeared on Dead Set Legends earlier this year. His story is deep and it's pretty dark, but it is so important. You might think this is a bit of a gloomy topic to talk about on a Sunday morning, but the positive response I've received every time we talk about the topic is overwhelming. See if any of this sounds familiar.
I played my first game when I was 17, and I was at Essendon when I was 15. I played through the under-19s and that sort of thing. Anyway, but I track it back to probably about 1983, where that year I was playing footy, but I just really didn't feel well. I had a lot of, you know, all of a sudden I couldn't train properly. I had a lot of aches and pains in my body. I was just weak. I describe it as having, like, yeah, you know, when you get like a flu, a real bad flu,
mm-hmm.
you can't get out of bed for a couple of days.
Yep.
I describe it like that, but you have it for about 2 weeks.
That's former footy player Mark Eustace. He's dealt with complex mental illness for years.
I talked myself into I couldn't play footy anymore. I was no good, all that sort of thing. And then, at that time, the chairman of selectors, who was with Shoes, he had a bit of a meeting with me. He said, look, mate, you're going nowhere here. We're going to have to, if you don't pull up your socks, we're going to have to get rid of you.
Right.
And all I used to cop was, you know, stop feeling sorry for yourself, wake up to yourself, you know, pick yourself up.
Get on with it, mate.
Yeah, get on with it. You're bringing everybody else down around you, that sort of thing, you know. But I didn't know what was wrong with me. Mental health issues weren't really you know, about those days. I mean, there was no one spoke about it. No one knew anything about it. Anyway, I went on basically and I shifted clubs a couple of times. So, and this just kept coming back to me all the time. So it finally got to the stage where I finished off playing at Sydney, where it all just come back again. And I was, I basically couldn't go out in the ground to play. It was just hard. I'd sit in the toilets before the game. I didn't want to come out of the toilets and do the warm-up. A game would just absolutely mentally exhaust me. Just I'd just come off the ground just exhausted. And sometimes I'd cry after the games and all this sort of stuff.
What'd your teammates make of that? Or did you hide it from them?
Yeah, in the end, what happened was I really just decided to I just didn't complain or anything. I got the stage, we go out for a beer on a Saturday night or whatever, and they'd be mates or teammates or whoever I was with, they'd say, well, what are you going to give us tonight, Wally? It's my nickname, Wally. They say, are you going to be up tonight or down tonight? Are you going to wreck our night? And all this sort of stuff, you know. And I'd,
wow.
Yeah, you know, I'd say, no, I feel all right and have a good time. Then the next time I'd be, you know, basically. So no one really. So it became a joke, really, with me over all those years, which I basically accepted that joke.
You can hear the entire chat with Mark in our special podcast at triplem.com.au.
Put aside your ego at times and your pride. And as men, we do find it hard to speak up because we don't want to be judged. We don't want to be called weak, or we don't want to be, you know, be kind of ostracized into a different type of group. So I think the first point of call, mate, is to open up.
That's Jake Edwards again, making the point, if you're struggling with complex mental illness, make sure you speak to someone who can help you. Here's more from former AFL footballer Mark Eustace.
I ended up going to rehab where I cleaned up there for, you know, whatever it is, 28 days, and got through that, and, you know, that was all good. But then I come out of there, well, in rehab, you got all, you know, you got somewhere to go. They, you know, they feed you up, you give you food, they give you therapy, you got, you know, roof over your head.
Structure.
Exactly. Howie, you have heaps of structure. You got therapy on hand, the whole lot. 28 days goes by. You know, I walk out of there with, you know, no money, no car, no license, no job, no investments, no relationships in my life. Basically,
gee.
I walk, you know, no car. I walked out of there.
Literally walked out, no car to get into.
Yeah, basically, I had a mate of mine pick me up and I had to go and stay with my mum. And it was like I got home and I thought, God, what am I going to do now? And there was two things I could have done. I could have gone down the pub and started drinking, rang up a drug dealer. I had no money. I had about $100 in my pocket, something like that.
That's it.
Yeah, that's in my life.
Wow,
that's in my life, with no job and all that. Which, and by the way, I'm not proud of, and it wasn't anybody else's fault except for mine. Yeah, you know, so I'm not blaming anyone. You know, and what happened was, I had the two decisions. I had one decision to make. All right, I'll go down the pub. I'll ring up a drug dealer. I'll basically start up a tab with him, so I get myself into hock again, you know, with drug money and all that sort of thing, or I'll fight it. And I decided to fight it, Howie, you know. I said, nah, stuff this, I'm going to fight it.
So who did you go and see that said to you, Mark, this is a problem and you're not the only one that's got it?
Okay, I went, I got the AFL Players Association, got me a psychiatrist. That was when I was 43, and minute I spoke to him, he said, oh, mate, you suffer from bipolar disorder.
Did you know what that was?
No. and a clinical depression as well. So I got the double barrel too.
Just whacked you on both sides.
Yeah, whacked me on both sides and said, this is what you got.
And was that seems a strange question, Mark, but was that a relief that someone could put a name on what you were struggling with?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was at the time. How I've been now clean, you know, 9 years and 10 months. Look, I'm doing this, which I really love what I'm doing, especially with mental health work coming up with Sane Australia. They're a fantastic organisation. I'm really happy, and hopefully I can, you know, continue over there with them for, you know, the next couple of years, you know. But what they're doing is fantastic work. Where I'm at the moment, Harry, as I said, I'm doing this, which is going great. Mate, I'm getting a lot of my friends back, which is good. Look, I've got this business I'm doing. Mate, I've bought myself a little apartment, which I moved into in a couple of weeks' time. Right? And, you know, I've got my license back, obviously, a few years ago. Look, you know, I drive around, I've got a car and everything. So life's pretty good at the moment. You know, it's much better than what it was. But I still see my psychiatrist, the same one that I got 10 years ago, or nearly 10 years ago. I still see him. I still have treatment. I still have my down days. I still take meds. I'll be on those for the rest of my life. Yeah, so, but a hell of a lot better, and it's getting better. And with the mental health issues and addiction, I've really got a real passion about it now. I've got a real passion. Obviously, at the end of the day, somewhere along the line, you've got to feed yourself. But I've got a real passion to help people. I'm really enjoying what I'm doing. You know, to get out of bed in the morning and, you know, and go and do a talk or whatever it may be, you know, I'm really enjoying it. So that side of it, which, you know, is really good. So, yeah, so things are a lot better, but I've got a fair way to go. But, you know, I'm going okay.
Sounds like you've come a long way, Mark. We appreciate your time, your openness and your honesty and your sincerity. I'm sure listening to your story, it will help a lot of people and they can get involved with Sane Australia as well. Thanks for being so open with us, mate.
Go ahead. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
We're spending some time talking about complex mental illnesses. Chances are you know someone who has problems in this area. You can hear all of our interviews in our Triple M Sane Discussion of Mental Illness podcast, available now at triplem.com.au. We've talked to a doctor, we've talked to ex-footballers, but what about the average bloke who finds himself in a bit of a struggle? Mick Thornbury lives in Canberra. He talks openly about his issues.
Bipolar is just it's a lifetime illness for me. It's sometimes two-thirds of the time I'm really down and in the depths of despair, and then every now and then I might have a little breath of light, but it's something I'll keep on working towards for the rest of my life.
Is it a difficult thing to talk about? We don't know each other yet. We're having a reasonably intense discussion about your health.
I guess it was some time ago. It was only about probably 12 months ago I actually came out to a lot of friends who had no idea the battles I was facing sort of alone. So it is getting, for me, it's getting easier. And I've largely got Sane Australia to thank for that as well. But for a lot of other people, it's still a very difficult thing to talk about, and especially through your employers. It's to tell an employer that you have bipolar could very well mean the end of your career.
Yeah, you're really putting your faith in people, aren't you? Which we'll get to in a moment. But when did you first realise that you needed to do something, and what was your first step, Mick?
Right, well, I knew there was something different with me right through from about 15, I guess, and luckily I had football at the time, so that took up a lot of my time. And with my bipolar, I isolate myself as well, so I didn't, with football, and I was quite a good player, I didn't have to rely on myself to make conversations with others. It was basically at the end of the game or, having a beer after footy, you know, good game, Mick, well done, all that sort of stuff. But once footy was finished, then I isolated myself, I had no one around. And then I really hit the depths of despair, and you can go to certain doctors. I went to my local doctor I'd been to for 20 years, and he really just didn't have that idea about the mental health. And I went to another doctor who was fantastic, who right away put me in touch with a psychiatrist to handle my mental health condition, and of course admitted me to hospital at that time as well. So, and that was probably in about mid-30s, 36, 37. And from then on, I've been on a multitude of medications, ECT, the electric convulsive therapy, all that sort of stuff.
What's that,
so
Nick?
It's basically the end, right at the end, you've got nothing else that works. And basically, you put under a general anaesthetic, you'll have a injection to relax you, and then, of course, you have the electronic paddles attached to put on the side of your head. And it runs a current through your body that stiffens your body. If you go back to the old, you know, once flew over the cuckoo's nest, not quite as drastic as that.
Right.
But it for people with chronic depression, it does tend to work. For me, no. I'm largely medication resistant and treatment resistant. So, but I've tried them all. It's not fun. But I'm lucky to have a great wife and carer to assist me through my times as well. So.
Mick, that must be frightening to be put in a situation like that. Obviously, it's there to try and help you, but gee, that must be a horrific thing to be going through at any stage of your life.
I guess sometimes it is. Yeah, you'll sit out in the waiting room, and it's just like a normal operation you go through three times a week. You'll sit in the waiting room, and all right, next up, it feels like you're going for an execution sometimes. And I actually stopped it because I found with my illness, one of the only things I had left was pride, and it didn't matter what I did. I always wet myself during the process, and it wasn't the process itself; it was the relaxing drugs they give you, so you don't tense too much. So I just wet myself every single time. And in the end, my pride just got to me and I couldn't do it anymore. And I said to the doctor, I said, look, that's it, I'm going. And he threatened me with he was going to commit me. And that's not the best thing to happen in the world either. So, I largely went untreated for a couple of years till, you know, in Canberra when I really hit the skids again. And now I've got a fantastic doctor. I've got a fantastic support network. Doing some work with Sane Australia, which has just been wonderful for me. You know, so, because I've been medically retired due to my illness.
Right.
That's about where I am now.
We'll get to the recovery process in a minute, Mick. You've left me a little bit stunned, to be honest.
Sorry.
No, you don't need to apologise. It's what we're here for, so sure. People can sure. begin to understand what is happening and what can be done to help people in your sure. situation. Describe bipolar to me. It's something I read about, I hear about it, but obviously I can't experience it. So what are the feelings that come and go through your body?
Sometimes I wish they hadn't changed the name of manic depressives to bipolar.
Right.
Because bipolar sometimes seems like this little fluffy term for it, and it isn't. It's an insidious illness that you will never it will never leave you, and you're battling it all the time. I guess I have the crushing lows more than anything else. My medication that I'm on stops me getting any highs. And I would kill for a high, just to be able to, how would I put it? Like when I used to work, I used to pump out that much work product. It wasn't funny. But I don't get my highs anymore. I'd love one. My doctor says it's not a good idea.
We're talking to Mick Thornbury. He's dealt with bipolar for years. He's ever vigilant and has a strong support network that gets him through.
People might call bullcrap on this, but I'll put it this way. If I had the choice of having a limb removed, whether it be an arm or a leg, but the end result was that I would never, ever, ever have bipolar again, I would do that in a heartbeat. That's the best way I can put it, from my point of view. Others may not say that, but my point of view.
That's an extraordinary description. I think in layman's terms, that straight away I hear that and I think, wow, that shows the seriousness of what you're going through. You're talking about looking down the corridor and thinking, I can't walk that distance.
It's too far.
So how have you managed to achieve that? You're sitting here in a radio studio now in Canberra. You said you're heavily involved with Sane. So obviously at some stage you found something that has enabled you at times to be able to walk to the end of the corridor, out the door and take back charge of your life, I guess.
Yeah, well, you do take charge of your life, but as I said, one of the biggest helps I've got is my wife. She's also a speaker through Sane now and is my official carer. She's able to make legal decisions about my medications and everything like that, but without her, I don't think I'd be here. She's just been enormous for me, and I don't know how she does it. And I've said it before on some of the Sane videos that if I was in the same position as her, I hope I could do what she does. Mm. I can't guarantee you I would. But you have to get up. I've got kids to get to school and get around places. You don't have that choice. I'll get to the gym. I'll try and get to the gym 3 or 4 times a week. I'll try and get on my bike, 4 or 5 times a week. You just try. You don't live any more than one day at a time. Yeah, that's it. You don't live any more than one day at a time.
Your description, Mick, of giving up a limb to get rid of the issue you have, it makes those statements that we still hear these days about toughen up and get on with it, mate, and just come on, you can sort yourself out. It makes those statements just seem so wrong and far removed from what you need to hear that it's not funny.
True, and I think sometimes it's because it's an invisible illness. If people can't see the scars on people's arms from sometimes, the result of the illness itself, it's an invisible illness, and you're right, especially when it comes to football. I've been around football clubs all my life, love playing football. But then again, I've only used thinking about the other day, did I like playing football or did I have to play football? Sometimes I did enjoy it, Sometimes I'd be in my car and think people would be thinking I'm sort of, pumping myself up a bit with some loud music. I'd be crying my eyes out in the car or in the toilet because I didn't want to play. But that's the only way I knew how to associate with people, because you don't have the life skills, or you don't have that skill to be able to talk with people and carry on conversations. So yeah, it's been a bit of a tough gig, but you know, we just keep on keeping on, I guess.
As you said, one day at a time. But people, people are going to listen to this and they're going to think, that's me, or that's my brother, or that's my sister, or that's my dad, and they're going to go and try and get some help along the way and get in touch with people like Sane. And you, by chatting about this with Sane and with me and with everyone you talked about this, you're going to give people the opportunity to improve their lives, which is a bloody wonderful thing, mate.
Well, I really hope they can. It's not fun. It's even when the video is released on Sane, you know, we'd have people on Facebook just making a few comments, basically as you just said then, going, "That's me." And by doing that, like the Sane was monitoring all their Facebook, so they just say, "Come on, jump on the website. You know, have a look at the forums. The Sane forums are wonderful. You don't have to participate. You can just sit there and look."
Explain the forum to me, Mick.
Yeah, the forum is, there's a forum nearly every night. There's sometimes a subject of that forum, but you can sign up on the Facebook, on the Sane website.
Yep.
In regards to the forums. It's not just for us as the sufferers of the illness. There's also a section there for the for our carers. There's a carers forum as well, which is fantastic. So our carers can get a little bit of help. And it's just a matter of, if you feel like you need a little bit of help, you know, one night, just sit there for an hour on the forum. You don't have to just log in. You don't have to reply to anything. But you might just find something there that really resonates with you. And you think, wow, maybe I can try that. Maybe I can go in that direction. Maybe this is some place that I can find some help which I didn't know about before.
You can chat with Mick or just watch in one of the Sane forums immediately after this show. Head to saneforums.org. Well, it's certainly been a big hour. So many stories, a lot of depth, and a lot of hope. Jack Heath is the CEO of Sane. He's passionate about helping people manage their complex mental illnesses.
What we wanted to do here was to do what we've done with young people in terms of using the internet, using technology, to connect out to people who are doing it particularly tough, and obviously in our case for those people living with complex mental illness. So a couple of years ago, we set up the Sane forums. These are a place where people can go anonymously, it's professionally moderated 24 hours a day, and you can connect up with other people who are dealing with difficult issues like you. So, for example, this year we're expecting to connect with around about 120,000 people around Australia. And one of the great things about these forums, and it's partly because we've got 40 partners, mental health partners around the country, is that we're getting to about a third of the people contacting us are coming from rural and regional communities. And what's really important about that is for those people in those communities, suicide rates are about 60% higher than they are in the big cities. And it doesn't mean that you're more likely to have a mental illness because you live in a rural or regional area. The challenge is that when you do actually develop a condition, you're less likely to have access to support. So, for example, there's a quarter of the number of psychiatrists in rural and regional Australia, half the number of psychologists. And so it's often a question about finding it hard to get help in those particular communities. And so these online forums are an opportunity for people to connect up, even if you're feeling isolated, not just psychologically, but geographically as well.
It's a confronting thing for anyone to have to deal with, Jack, but with the online forum, it seems a great way of going about it. Do you need to get involved, or can you sit back and work your way into it and almost watch, for want of a better term?
Yeah, look, this is one of the great things about these forums, is that you can come in, you can see the conversations that are taking place. Because a lot of people have concerns about the internet or some forums where you might have trolls, or it can be incredibly confronting. The beauty of these forums is you go, you have a look at the conversations that are taking place. And as I say, because they're professionally moderated, we don't get any of the rubbish that you'll get on a lot of other websites. And also too, we've built up a very supportive community, and we've been very conscious of how to do that. So the thing is, watch a conversation, go in, you could Google whatever your particular issue you're facing is, and odds are you'll find someone around Australia dealing with a similar issue. And then if and when you feel comfortable and want to participate in the conversation, you just go on register. It's just a very simple process. We just ask for your name, email, and postcode, We want to get the postcode to get a sense of where we're getting people from around the country, and then you can participate in those discussions. So easy to go and have a look, and if it feels right for you, then you can join the conversation.
Obviously, this is a very, very complex issue, but there is a simple, really simple way to get some help. Join the conversation. You heard Jack, Dr. Mark Cross, Mick Thornbury, Mark Eustace, Jake Edwards, and Brendan Favola all talk about the importance of expressing what you're going through. Everyone faces challenges, no doubt about it. If one of your challenges is complex mental illness, talk about it. It could save your life. If you have any questions at all and want to know more, join the conversation happening in the SANE forums, saneforums.org. Share this with your mates or someone that's close to you. Thanks for listening and thanks for sharing.
If you or someone you know needs support, head to sane.org.